you. So, I guess you guys all love web design, no? Well, otherwise, that's money not so good spent, so. No, but I really think it's cool that you guys decided to take a day off of paid work and pay a couple of quid to be here at the conference that Simon so well organized. So you probably want to learn something today, I guess. Maybe it's how can I become a better designer? Can I become better at my job? And can I, maybe I can ask my boss for a raise. Or if you're a freelancer, like how can I ask more money from my clients? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we all need to make money to survive and support our family. Does anyone know what a serve bum is? No? Okay, I'll explain. So a serve bum is someone who loves to surf, and he would love to do it all year long, but he needs to make money at the same time. So how does he make money? He makes money by teaching others how to surf. So half of the year he's teaching others while surfing, and the other half of the year he's surfing on his own. So it's a perfect way, for them it's like the perfect life you can ever have. And how many of you have side projects? You know what that makes us? Web bums. We design websites, we do the thing we do day in, day out, for one reason only, to make money, to continue doing what we love. It's kind of sad? Nah, I'm kidding, it's awesome. So, you probably want to make enough money by day so you can at night work at your hobby projects. And over time, you want to make more money, because more money means you have more security, and more security means you have more time to work on that one special project of yours. And you can earn more money by just becoming better at what you do. And the key at becoming better at what you do is very simple. You need to learn how to build more solid foundations for everything you do in your life. Foundations are the underlying principles, excuse me, I'm from Belgium, and they help us to put one building block on top of the other without the entire structure collapsing. And over time, we have to learn how to make a more solid foundation so we can make a bigger tower. I'm going to talk about a couple of different things today, and the first will be how we can make a better foundation for projects, so the projects will run smoother, and it will be easier to go from start to finish, and you will end up with better quality of work, so you can ask more money. And the second one is clients, how you can approach them in a better way, how you can make sure that working together with them is more pleasant. And you can even educate them in the ways of the web. After that, I'm going to try and tell you how to become better yourself, how to stay fit and motivated, and how to continue doing what you love every day. And I'll end up with others, how you can help out others. Building more solid foundations for themselves. And also important, why you should do that. Because the goal we all have is to make the web a better place. And if we want to do that, we have to make sure that the next generation of web designers is a bit up to speed. So we need to help them as much as possible. But first, how does a foundation start? How do we start building it up? It all starts with a spark, and a spark is an idea or some kind of inspiration that convinced you to walk one way instead of the other. And sometimes it's hard to pinpoint what exactly the spark was that made you end up where you are now. But for me, it all started with this mobile phone. I guess you all know it. It's very, very old. It was a crappy plastic Nokia with a crappy screen. But something was special about this phone, and you can see it here. You see the little illustration? You see the sun and the sea and a palm tree. Well, for that, Nokia for a while had these images you could either send to your contacts or you could just use them as a background. They look awesome, two-tone, whatever. And a friend of me had a website that sold these. So I started helping him out with designing these small, I don't know, the resolution was like 60 by 40 pixel images. So I took well-known brands and I copied the logo over to this monotone editor, and then pixel per pixel I would recreate the logo. That was a lot of fun. So I would make it, I would email them to him, and he would upload them on the website. But after a while, I became sick that every time I made an image, I had to email it to him, I had to wait till he came online, and then he could upload it, and I could see my work online. So I asked him, like, how can I put my images on the web myself? I mean, my copyright infringing images of logos, I hope people will never find out, my website is offline, so no problem. So the website was a really simple concept, just one page, all the images underneath each other, and next to the image you had a Buy Me button. It wasn't a button, it was just a link, and when you clicked it, it would send an email to my friend saying you have to send this logo to this number. And then he had to upload the image to his phone because the phone only supported like 50 of them, so he couldn't have them all on there. And then he had to text them manually to the number. So you would get your image within 24 hours. And then he had some system that would charge them with a euro or whatever it was. So he showed me how I could put my own images on the website. And it was pretty much this. I had to copy and paste a table line filled with inline CSS, and then I had to change the source of the image and change an ID and save it. And that was it. And that was my spark. That was the thing that put me on track to end up where I am right now. It started my passion for web design. And I didn't realize it at the time. I mean, I was doing it as a hobby, and even when I went to school, I wasn't sure what I wanted to be later. I wanted to start a computer shop or whatever. So it's funny how things go. So let's start out with the four things. I'm going to start with projects. Good foundations for building web apps can make it a lot easier for you to complete the project, and it can speed up the entire process and in the end create a better product. A tip I'd like to give you is every time you finish a project, you make two lists. In one column, you said you put all the things you think you did good, and in the other, you put everything you think you did wrong. And after you created the list, you just keep them all, and before you start a new project, just take all your lists and go through them and think, like, okay, what can I do better this time? What went wrong last time? And if you really have the balls, just ask your client to do the same. Let them create a list of things they think you did wrong and things they think you did well. It's the best way to learn, because if you don't evaluate yourself, or if you don't ask other people to evaluate yourself, you will be doing the same thing you're doing today in 5 years. And that's your own fault. Every project you do is an excuse to learn, and is an excuse to become better. So let's say you start a new project, and you're immediately inspired after the client tells you what he wants. You open Photoshop, you start designing. But at that point, why are you already in Photoshop? I mean, do you know what the entire outline of the project? Do you know every single detail? Do you know the features it will have? Do you know which features it will have in the future so you can prepare for it? So you have to ask the client for as much information as possible about the project. The only problem is very often the client doesn't know the specifics himself, so you have to squeeze it out of him. And it's your job as a designer to create this overall view of the application you're designing until the tiniest detail. And very often you'll notice that there will be details in there that the client never thought of before. So it will be a lot more work than you originally anticipated. And yes, it's a lot of work to do that for every project. But it's your responsibility, because you don't want to create a product you know is going to fail, or you know no one on earth except the one guy with the money will use. So put a bit of effort in it and make sure they pay you by the hour, and just help them out creating a better product in the end. They will respect you for it. I think you know this handsome guy. This is Mr. Simon Collison, the guy behind this conference. And he is a fucking machine. He's amazing. So would you just give him a round of applause? I mean, he put it up all himself, so. I don't know where he is, but he's one of the loveliest guys in the web world. And I really hope he's blushing right now and someone takes a photo and uploads it to Flickr. So he wrote, it's a series of 9 blog posts inspired by a talk he gave. And it's a gigantic source of inspiration, ideas, and tips about how you can become better at doing large projects. And I suggest that on Monday, when you all slept off the hangover, that you take a couple of hours off and you just go through it and read it. I'll make sure I'll post the link on Twitter, so that's my homework to you. This is something I made up. It's called Styled Pixels Per Website, in short, SPPW, or SHPAW. Sound a bit cooler. So, my theory is that every visitor of your website has a limit of styled pixels they can take. They can imagine you have a bucket of pixels, and that's it. That's all the design you can use for a certain website. And maybe for one website, you just pour it all in. It's all design everywhere. Or for another one, you can just pour bits and bits in more pages. Let's say you're making a restaurant website. It's brochure-like. It's very graphic. So you just pour everything in. And if you build a restaurant website, you only have one chance to seduce the visitors. The website has 2 goals, and that is to seduce the visitors and to make sure they know how to contact you. So it's all about first impression. And it's your job as a designer to translate the atmosphere of the website into pixels. So just use big photos, have a clear menu. The phone number shouldn't be in an image. When I visit the website on my phone, I want to make sure my iPhone automatically translates it into a link I can call. And whatever you do, do not use fucking Flash, or I will hunt you down. Example. This is a website of a fancy steakhouse in Belgium. The chef has 1 star, does some crazy things with intestines of animals, and for some reason I want to go have lunch there. For the past couple of years, I have this friend, and every couple of months we go for lunch, and he pays one time, I pay the next time. It was my turn to pay. So I go to a website, and I have no Flash installed on my machine, so I had to open it in Chrome. And maybe I'll put the translations up. The first thing I noticed is the language, the copy they use. I mean, submersion, cohesion, pleasure, book, and then indiscretion. I don't care. They sell meat. I want meat. Meat makes me manly. And even, I don't know if you can see it with on screen, but you cannot copy the phone number. So if you're like, okay, let me put a phone number in my iPhone so I can call it later, you cannot do it. Just you cannot select it. The only way you can book a table at this restaurant, they're only open on weekdays for lunch for some reason, is through their online booking form. So I filled in all the details and I click submit and nothing happens. I don't know a lot about Flash, so I think, okay, it's booked. So my friend lives about an hour away from my home, and the restaurant was another half hour away. So we drive all the way over there. We stand in front of the restaurant, and it's closed. I'm like, okay. And there's no phone number on their window or anything. So I grab my iPhone, and I think, well, no, it's Flash. I can't fucking see the phone number on it. So we have to go back home, and we had to find some other preparation. I tried to book another time, a couple of weeks later. And again, I press the button and it does nothing. I think, okay, this is the way it is. The next day, I'm like, this doesn't feel right. So I give him a call, like, hey, did you get my order? Like, what order? Like, yeah, go Flash. So if a small brochure website is all the way top left, where do you think like a major web application would be? You can point, you can shout, do something. Yes. I will assume that was the correct answer. With a web app, you have a completely different approach. Because you have to be a bit more minimalistic. And I don't mean it as in minimalistic is awesome and it's cool and everyone's doing it. But you don't want to overwhelm your visitors with design. You want your visitors to return as much as possible and use your website all the time. And with a restaurant website, that's not a realistic goal. The only goal is to have a visitor once, seduce them to come over to your restaurant and hopefully make a booking. But you can't turn the website of a restaurant into a social network. If you do that and it works, you heard it from me, so you owe me money for that. But with a web application, you have to show your visitors that you're capable of having a long-term relationship. You need to convince them that you can be trusted with their money. I don't want to see some Web 2.0 candy store website asking me for money. I just don't buy it. You need to sweat the details and you know, your bucket of pixels, just pour a bit on one page, a bit in the other, a bit in the other, and make it perfect. It's not good to just build a solid foundation once for your, let's say, for your web app. If you look at restaurant websites, a restaurant usually only asks for one website. And if you do a good job as a designer, that's the only website they'll ever need. They might need to update the photos or the menu, but you can easily do that with a CMS. But if you write some decent markup, it should be good for the entire time the website is in business. But web apps, on the other hand, are very fluid. They're constantly changing. You need to constantly listen to your users and listen to the feature requests they have. But you cannot just keep building on top of that and building and building and building and adding more stuff and changing more stuff. At a certain point, you need to stop and look back and think, like, if I could start over complete again, like, what would I change? And you need to take a jump and try to do that, try to implement it, and try to build a better foundation for your web application. A good example of this is Twitter. This is the old design of Twitter, and a couple of weeks ago, they changed to this. And it was a lucky move to just start over again and do something completely different. And a lot of users weren't happy with it. But they know their product best, and they made the changes so they could easily add new things in the future, whatever that might be. I mean, they need to make money one way. So next up, we have our clients. Clients are like little kids, pesky and ah. But they have money, so we need to listen to them. And it's our job to educate our clients into the way of the web. It'll benefit you because it will be much easier to communicate with them, and the project will go so much smoother. And when they pay you in the end, I mean, we all know the feeling. But not just that, I mean, if they hire any other freelancer in the future, they will all be thankful to you because you went to the trouble of educating them. And you need to explain them a couple of things, like what's a good website? Explain them why web standards are important, why it isn't just some crazy idea lots of people wrote books about. And explain them why it's important that pages load up fast, that they don't take 5 seconds to load. Explain them why you have to make sure the website is as accessible as possible, even for disabled users. And if they want to go to the website, go full screen and automatically email my credit card information to them, just tell them that's not done. It's just bad people. Another point of discussion we often have with clients is pricing. You need to tell them early on how you calculate what you're going to charge them. Tell them you can't give them a price right now for a project that will end in a couple of months. It's always going to change a bit. So explain to them that you will do your best to make give them a ballpark figure. Try to calculate how many hours will be involved in the project. And with some luck, they pay less, and if the project goes over time, they pay more. That's just the way it is. You should never work for a fixed price, except in one condition. If the work, the hours you have to put in a project are very just a couple of hours, like 4 hours, but it requires a lot of creativity from you, then you should ask for more. Because for every project you do, you should get out what you put in. It's not always easy, but you'll get better at it over time. Because the inspiration we put in project is something, it's priceless, but you can't explain that to your client. So make sure they pay you what you deserve. Another thing you need to explain to clients is that you don't just take a website off a shelf and offer to him. Building a website is a custom experience every time again, and it goes through a lot of different phases. So explain them the different phases and why they all take up that much time. You're not trying to rip them off. You're an honest, hardworking designer. And some clients don't understand why a website can be done in a week, or why do you need to do wireframes? You're just wasting time. Or why do you need to do browser testing? They don't understand. Take the time and explain to them. And they have a job too. It's not just you working on the entire project and then just delivering it. No, they need to be involved all the way through. They need to provide the resources, the high resolution logos and stuff. They need to provide constant feedback. Well, no, they don't have to be standing right behind you and tell you what to do. But if you ask for feedback, you should have it at least in a couple of hours. And maybe you can even ask them to ask their customers for feedback, what they think of the current product, of the current website, what goes wrong, or maybe ask a couple of customers in for some testing. You never know, it's always a good thing. One thing I like talking about is how to approach clients. If you approach a client for the first time, it's a bit like the first date. If you come in and you're the big overconfident macho, they won't trust you and they think you're only in for the money. But if you come in and you're like the geeky guy that doesn't know how to talk to girls, then they're like, this guy isn't gonna be able to do the project alone. So you need to get to know your clients. You need to talk to them, grab a beer with them, get to know them better, and build a friendship with them, build trust. If they trust you, then it's much easier, the project will go much easier. And then they will trust you with their money. How can you make sure that you become a better designer, period? To go back to my little story about Nokia. So the website was completely made out of tables and inline CSS. So I thought, well, hell yeah, this is how the internet works, tables and inline CSS. But at a certain point in life, you need to realize that you need to ditch Microsoft Front Page and write your own inline CSS. It's all baby steps, of course. So once in a while, you need to step out of your comfort zone, take some time off, and just try to catch up what happened on the web, what new technologies happened. And by doing so, just like once a week, a couple of hours, you will be able to expand your comfort zone and become better and, again, be able to ask more money. That's what we all want. If you look, so you can't just go, you can't grow your skill set in a straight line. You need to realize that new technologies will emerge and you need to take some time to learn them. And the old technologies you knew, you need to drop them. So every time you kind of take a step back, but it's for the good. It will always help you to go back higher and do a better job. Something about job titles. How much time am I? I lost track of time. So, I hate people who have ridiculously long job titles on their business card, because the only thing we are creators. We recreate design, we create logical structures for our apps and websites, and we create interfaces that are easy to use, or we create beautiful lines of markup. It doesn't matter. We create stuff. Don't get fed up with the job titles, because it will just make you look like a moron. Okay, seriously, how long am I? No? No one? You're not helping me. So I'll just keep talking. Finally, how can you help others become better? Why? Who here thinks that the most things they know and the most skills they have, they've learned through self-study because of articles others have written or books others have written? What I expected. The people who wrote those books didn't need to do that. I mean, Jeffrey Zelman, Simon Collison, Dan Sederholm, all the others, they don't get rich from writing a book. Look at Andy Clark, he's still designing his websites in the browser because he can buy a copy of Photoshop. Now, in all seriousness, the book he wrote is amazing, and I think you can buy it downstairs. And if you pay another 20 quid, he will sign it for you. So the most important thing of my talk, I think, is how can we help others become better? Does anyone know the Dreyfus model of skill acquisition? Okay, I'll explain. It's a bit like a mountain, and we all start at the bottom, at novice level. And after a while, after we learn more and we get more experience, we go over to advanced beginner. After that, we have competent, proficient, and in the end, we have expert. I call this Mount Dreyfus. But it's hard going from one level to the other. And sometimes you don't really realize in which level you currently are. But it's important that you help other designers cross from one level to the other. So let's say I'm at the advanced beginner stage and I have a friend who is a novice. Then it's my task to help him cross over to the next level. And it's his help to help others that come behind him. And in this way, we have to create a big, strong chain all going to the top. And in that way, we can help the next generation of web designers prepare for the big, ugly world out there. And that's just concludes my talk with it. Don't think about yourself, just become better yourself, yes, but most important thing is help out others, and let's make the web a better place. Sorry for rambling.